Hey everybody, this is producer Andrew Colvett, otherwise known as Mr. Iron Man at the Charlie Kirk Show, filling in for Charlie one last time. And guess what? We're talking about Florida and redistricting, how one brave governor might just save all the rest of the conservative governors in the redistricting battle with the Eric Holders and the Barack Obamas of the world. Very important news there. Also, we welcome Joe Bob to the show. Joe Bob is a Turning Point USA contributor. He was with us at UC Berkeley. We have a great discussion about what we saw, what we learned, what we're picking up from this new generation, what we're picking up from their cynicism to their optimism, what's driving them, what's behind the things they say and do. It's really insightful. Joe Bob's one of the guys that has his finger to the pulse of the next generation. You're not going to want to miss it. This is the Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com.
He did it again on another thing. So if you have paid any attention to this show, you know that we have been bemoaning the RNC's lackluster attempts at staving off this onslaught, which is exactly what it is, led by guys like Eric Holder that have been plotting this for a long time, Barack Obama, at taking over the redistricting battle that they feel like they've been losing to Republicans for decades. So guys like Eric Holder spent a lot of time, raised a lot of money to say that he was going to push back at the Republican efforts at redistricting. And guess what? They were largely successful. Massive losses in New York, massive losses in California, anywhere where the Democrat stronghold was the machine, where they were running the political discourse from top to bottom, where they controlled the House, the Senate, whatever, the Assembly, the Governor's Mansion, they took aim and they held nothing back. Now, what did we see in GOP states, GOP-controlled states? We saw feckless leadership. We saw a lack of resolve. We saw hemming and hawing. And guess what? We got worked. We got totally owned. We've been trying to sound the alarm on this show. The redistricting war was getting gruesome for conservatives. This, as we're seeing massive polling swings in our favor. This, as polls like Quinnipiac has Joe Biden's approval rating at 33. CNBC has it 39. We're seeing massive gains in the Hispanic community, something I would love to talk about. It was trending last night. On the Twitterverse, just because I was investigating some Elon Musk stuff. I promise you, I would try not to frequent the site. All of this is happening, and yet the GOP is standing by doing nothing. So what does DeSantis do? Now, to put things in perspective, the redistricting battle in Florida before any of this happened, right? So we do this every 10 years based on the census. It was 1611. 1611. So it was at 16 more Republican-edged seats, and what we mean by that is that it's R plus something, right? If a Republican runs against Democrats and it falls along party lines, the Republican would win in theory, right? Now, that doesn't mean you don't need to run a great race. That doesn't mean any of that stuff, right? Okay, this is 101 stuff, so if this is too simple for some of you, I apologize. So, 1611, then we get rumor that DeSantis is going with an 1810 map, so they gained a seat just because of population. People moving to Florida. 1810. And then we were, you know, frankly, it was the only state where we were outperforming what we thought we were going to do. Every other state in the GOP was abysmal. Abysmal. We were not, as we often do on the conservative side, we were not responding in kind. They were playing for keeps. They were playing hardball. We were getting walked over. We were being nice. We were being nice. We were being the principled party, trying to follow all the rules and the decorum and the way things have always been. Meanwhile, we're getting slaughtered. I don't know about you. I like to win. So what does DeSantis do? This is from the Daily Wire. DeSantis makes major move to bring big GOP gains, quote, entirely wiping out all Democrat gains nationally. So he didn't just go from 1611 to 1810. No, no, no. Didn't stop there. He went 20-8. Now, let me just say this again. 20 Republican-leaning districts to 8 Democrat-leaning districts. Now, for those of you who are sitting here thinking, how can this be? This seems, you know, potentially unfair. Listen, this will get challenged in the courts, okay? But at the end of the day, DeSantis has been back-channeling inside Florida. He's been working with the state representatives. They have approved this. So this will be challenged in court, and it's possible he might lose some of what he's been fighting for. But what we can say is that DeSantis took the moment, shot for the fences, swung for the fences, shot for the moon, and took a massive step in the right direction. And now, why is this important? We're looking to 2022, midterms in November, and we're saying, yes, this could be an extinction-level event for the Democrat Party. Yes, this could be the moment where we have a great awakening across the political landscape of this country and the spiritual landscape and the psychological landscape of this country, and we see what these woke politics are doing to our nation. But then what happens? The Democrats in these deep blue states take advantage of the redistricting process, hold nothing back, and then take back those hard-fought gains, not to mention the election integrity issues that still plague so many parts of our country, so many states, not to mention the way that they're going to still try and rig the mail-in voting, not to mention the fact that so many of these states which used the judiciary, the Supreme Court's state, like Pennsylvania, going around and changing the election laws, not to mention that they can still do that heading into November. We ain't seen nothing yet, folks. The fight is not over. So you may think that there's this bloodbath on the horizon for the Democrat Party, and yet they are working the way they do elections. They always work the mechanisms, the modes of distribution, the way that we vote, while we're working messaging, while we're working appealing to people's sense of common sense. We're appealing to pragmatism, policies. No, the messaging is important, yes, but the way we do these elections, the way we draw the maps is critically important. And in one fell swoop, Governor DeSantis could be saving the conservative movement in the United States by wiping out the ill-gotten gains that Democrats got in places like New York and California, where they control all the political levers of power. Florida is the model. This is a state that if you won by 100,000 votes, elections passed, it was considered a blowout. Republicans have always lagged behind the Democrats in registered voters. They now exceed registered voters. Republicans now exceed Democrat registered voters by over 100,000 votes. To put that in perspective, folks, that is landslide territory already. There is now Democrats making jokes about Florida that it is now a conservative state and it's like basically lost. I mean, they're already throwing up their hands, but this is what's so incredible. We have been playing from a deficit for basically as long as I've been paying attention, as long as I've been politically active. We've been playing from a deficit in registered voters, and yet we still eke out wins. It's a miracle that conservatives have won any elections. And this shows the weakness and the frailty of the progressive mind. The second they are faced with a true leader, a very courageous leader, they fold. They're throwing up their hands in Florida, folks. They are writing it off as like conservative land, as Jesus land, as DeSantis land. Meanwhile, we're still fighting on all fronts. And if you think states like Washington, like Oregon, like Colorado are out of bounds, are out of limits, you're dearly mistaken. All of those are now within reach because of just how poorly this country has been managed by the failed Biden regime on so many fronts. People are waking up. And now if we can do the mechanics and the messaging of how we run elections in this country, we are looking at an absolute extinction event within the Democrat Party, and they are running scared.
Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K through 12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of Liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of Liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlie4hillsdale.com.
We are going to be joining now with Joe Bob. Which, you know, now that I'm saying it, I think of it as one name, but there's actually two names there. Joe Bob is Turning Point USA contributor, who was with us yesterday. And by the way, I was hilarious, Joe Bob. I was acting like I didn't know you because, like, I didn't want to, like, give up your ruse.
Anonymity.
Yeah, your anonymity. I mean, you looked exactly like a leftist. It was very impressive. Joe Bob, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks, man. And I figured since it's my Charlie Kirk Show debut, I should explain to people that one grandparent was Joe, the other one was Bob, and that's how you get a brown guy with a hillbilly Alabama backwoods name.
Listen.
I probably have more teeth than most of the Joe Bobs you know, though.
You know, that's a good thing. When I think about my experience yesterday, I have so much I want to say. I mean, there's not enough time in this hour. I cannot stress enough to the people listening to the radio show, to the podcast, listening on streaming, just how impactful yesterday actually was for me at UC Berkeley. Tell the audience what you saw. Your approach, by the way, because you were sort of undercover. Mm-hmm. You were Keep California Weird or Keep Berkeley Weird or something like that. And we have some clips here that we can show. Actually, you know what? That's what we'll do. We'll start with that.
Cool.
This will give people a good primer for what you were doing. Cut 90 is some of your handiwork, Joe Bob. Let's go ahead and play Cut 90.
Come on, tell me, what is his deal? Should we, like...
What's his deal?
If you don't like him, he's literally fucking fascist.
How?
You know he just tweeted that Kamala Harris's vice presidency was affirmative action.
Yeah. Also in support of the don't say gay bill.
The guy that gave us this full though, he seemed like I feel like nobody wants war with Russia. Like, right? Like
that's amazing. So tell us what you were doing and what we just saw and heard.
So Charlie was set up doing his thing, which was hilarious, and I wish I could have seen more of it because I think there was some substantial dunking on leftist thought there going on at the table. But we were incognito, kind of going around, milling around with the – I had my black beanie on, my sunglasses, my black shirt, kind of just confused and aloof of everything happening at the – protest? I think there were people protesting, but I don't even
know. There was definitely some Nazi name-calling going on, yes.
Well, so I was just asking questions. Like, I wasn't going out there to, like, stump people on their dumb ideas. I was just asking questions and letting people talk themselves. And a lot of the footage that I think we're going to see eventually, they're cutting it up and making it look all nice and pretty, is people talking themselves into circles. We had one girl, by the way, who was adamantly chasing us down afterwards, saying, "You need to delete my footage. I have the right to have you delete all of my footage. You do not have the right to film me." And, you know, we didn't get into the
like you stole her essence or something.
Yeah. The legality of, like, hey, you knew that you were being filmed, so no, we don't have to do whatever you say. But it was funny just because there was no side that we were taking. Obviously, you know, the Turning Point crew is there, and they were doing a fantastic job, like, being super polite to people. They weren't being pushy. They're just, hey, here's what we're here to talk about. I was just, as much as I could, just kind of asking people questions that they should be able to answer. There was a guy with a megaphone there that just kept screaming for what it seemed like an eternity.
He was like 70, by the way.
Yeah.
He was like an old hippie that's, like, trying to, like, you know, teach the new... Berkeleyites what to do there.
He was not a student.
The Berkeleyans.
He was not a student by a lot of years. And he had this megaphone, and honestly, it was kind of impressive, the fact that somebody could talk that long without taking a break.
Agreed.
But anyways, we tried to talk to him, and he said, oh, those guys over there are fascists. And I said, okay, what does that mean? He said, well, they're conservative fascists. Okay, cool. So we still don't have a definition as to what that means to you. And he's like, yeah, they're evil people. Okay, cool. So we're just not going to discuss anything other than you think that they're fascists and evil. All right, no points of contention that you're going to make other than that. So I guess we'll just go on your word, old dude with a megaphone.
Yeah, it didn't even matter. I mean, there's looking for logic in some of the arguments is actually futile. I actually am more interested in. I mean, I was saying before, I was around the booth where Charlie was talking, and I was having my own sidebar conversations with some of the students. Charlie and I debriefed on this afterwards. I want to talk about that clip we just saw from your footage, which was just amazing. But Charlie and I were talking about, you know, there was sort of a lot of smart kids. You'd expect that at Berkeley. It wasn't that they were dumb. It's not that they didn't have the raw horsepower to reason through these arguments. It was that their arguments were founded on a false premise. Mm-hmm. Like, their entire logic was built on a lie, started on a lie. So you had to sort of deconstruct layer upon layer upon layer. And then what I think your clip so beautifully illustrated, Joe Bob, was that the pure shock in these kids' expressions that there would be somebody present on UC Berkeley's campus that you know, said something bad about Kamala Harris. Could you believe it? Like, you can't – that's this guy over here. Obviously, I'm not sure if they knew who Charlie was or not, but they couldn't get over the fact that he had this opinion. It was shocking to them.
Well, and you know what? You know what's actually okay, so to your point that you made earlier about there were smart kids there, because there are smart kids that go to that school that, you know, think bad ideas. I honest to God think that they picked a side too early on and are too prideful to admit when somebody makes a good argument against their bad ideas.
Total smart kid syndrome, by
which
the way.
Which is it's exactly the type of kid that goes to Berkeley. But I thought that there was another really fascinating component about this. There were a lot of people that, you know, weren't big fans of Charlie. But when we started talking to him about, you know, like, okay, cool, so you think, so you don't like Charlie, he doesn't like Joe Biden, so that means you like Joe Biden? And they were like, no, we don't like him either.
Yes.
They couldn't stand him either, which I thought this was actually fascinating. There was a Berkeley specifically put out a poll yesterday. I don't know if you talked about
this
or saw this.
No, I didn't see this.
They polled California voters. Joe Biden's approval in California, the bluest of the blue states, is at 50% with a disapproval at 40%. And on top of that, this is what I thought was super fascinating. That girl was talking about Kamala Harris. She went on a little bit of a tirade about how much, well, no, Kamala Harris definitely has the grit and brain capacity to be. This is not affirmative action at all.
You're kidding me.
California voters in this Berkeley poll gave Kamala Harris, in her home state where she was the attorney general and a senator in the Bay Area, 35% approval rating.
So, I'm still surprised it's that high.
Yeah.
I love that it's like way under. I can't believe they gave Biden 50%. Have they seen him try and form a sentence?
Yeah. So where is your bar, Californians? Is the bar at coherence? Because even then, we're not reaching that bar. But it was fascinating talking to them. Again, we weren't going to be at the capacity that we were engaging with people. We weren't going to change anybody's mind. We're just kind of asking questions and seeing what they said. I think the most fascinating part is not the fact that they couldn't form articulate arguments against anything that Charlie was saying, but the fact that they also really couldn't stand the current administration almost just as much, if not more, than the previous administration.
Yeah. I got that vibe too when I was having the sidebar conversations that I was having. Mm-hmm. I sensed, Joe Bob, this, and I think Charlie's going to unpack this in the days and weeks to come, but this deep, almost nihilistic cynicism, when we talk about generational theft, which we do on this show all the time, when we talk about generational theft, when you talk about what happened in the lockdowns, where you stole years that these kids will never get back of college, which are supposed to be, right? The, mm-hmm. Our culture at least says that college is these irreplaceable years of youth, and they're amazing years. They can mm-hmm. be amazing years, despite the college cartel and the scam of the colleges that they're currently engaged in. But they stole their childhood. They stole proms, high mm-hmm. school dances. They stole sports. They stole being with friends, these formative years. And the pollsters, this was in Politico, they're polling the Democrat base, youth base, mm-hmm. and they described them as anxious.
Yeah.
They described them as confused. They described them as just anxiety-riddled young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that on campus. And it was really shocking. And Charlie had some great perspective on this. He said, you know, 4 years ago, this was not the energy on campus. 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And we see a whole new generation with this nihilistic cynicism perspective. Did you see similar things? What was your take?
Well, so my biggest, I think, in line with what you're saying, I saw that on the campus walk when we were talking to people, but I think I saw that most when, remember, Berkeley, California, the event was not only sold out, there were people outside the doors trying to get in. If that doesn't say exactly what we're all thinking of, like, look, even people that are you know, youthful and call themselves liberals and leftists, there's a growing population within them that are just fed up with it, exactly like what you're talking about. You saw the angst and the anger on
but it's going both ways, Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like as the country becomes more divided.
Mm-hmm.
It's like choose your path. Which way, Western man? Right? It's like it's like you're seeing the people that are searching out for hope and meaning and purpose, mm-hmm. and then you're seeing this like cynicism, this nihilistic pursuit. Right? You're seeing the winnowing fork of culture, and it's like you could see the kids that are like curious and reaching out this way. I had a number of them pull me aside and be like,
"Totally,
yo, there's actually way more conservatives on campus than you would think." Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I met like kids that looked completely like they'd be liberal. I mean, I know that's I don't mean to be presumptive. Yeah. You look like a liberal, and they were pulling me aside. So you saw this, and to your point, I mean, we could have filled up an auditorium of 1,500,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they gave us 299 seats. Like, even the space that they did give us could have sat 600. They gave us 299. I don't know, because of COVID.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, like, it was just ridiculous. And anyways, I mean, you're right, though. There is a hunger, but I'm just seeing it kind of, like, separate even further the haves and the have-nots, man.
You know what I think? To kind of wrap up the point in the segment, the best thing that I think Charlie pointed out during the speech was how proud he was of the Turning Point volunteers that were there, not feeding into the angst. There was a girl that popped a big unicorn balloon it was a free speech unicorn, not like a unicorn fairy dust stuff. There was some stuff that got knocked over. There were some physical altercations, and nobody on the Turning Point acted with anything other than respect. And I think that's going to hopefully sort of bridge this gap, maybe.
It was almost a jovial vibe amongst the Turning Point students. It really was fun, and they were having a good time with it. And it was totally respectful. Great point. Hats off to that team.
Hey, everybody. Towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell at MyPillow found out that around 2006, towels changed forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but they didn't work. He found the best towel company right here in America. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. They are all made with USA cotton, and they come with a MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. It's a 6-piece set, 2-bath, 2-hand towels, 2 washcloths, made with USA cotton. They're soft yet absorbent, regularly $109.99, now $39.99. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Enter promo code KIRK. Call 1-800-875-0425 for these great radio specials. That's MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener square, MyPillow.com.
We are talking about this cynical vibe that we got. It was like, okay, so you got Quinnipiac saying Joe Biden's at 33% approval rating. I'm trying to have conversations with these kids going like, but what about inflation? Are you not worried about it? You still sort of think that, you know, the other side's so bad. I mean, this affects you more than anybody. You're young. You don't own anything. You know, You're going to be priced out of the housing market with all this free money floating around. What, you know, and they would say, oh, but it's capitalism. It's capitalism. And they weren't utopians. They were nihilists. They didn't say that, like, you know, Joe Biden was going to fix it, or the Dems are going to fix it, or even AOC or Bernie. They just said it's kind of all terrible, and, you know, we'd rather your side doesn't have power. I mean, give me the vibe that you're seeing there, other place you've been interacting with young people lately. What are you seeing?
Unfortunately, I think in a lot of those super lefty enclaves like Berkeley, that is the case. I think the optimistic view, and Charlie hit on this yesterday when he was talking, is that a lot of people are looking at that nihilistic cynicism and going, ooh, I don't know if I really like that. And in the same way that the current administration is pushing people towards curiosity, mm-hmm. that nihilistic, cynical attitude of your ultra woke is pushing people also towards curiosity. And our job, it would seem, is to give them a handshake and a hug and say, yeah, welcome to less government and more freedom. That's at least, I think, the optimistic view. Now, the unoptimistic view is it, you know, devolves into utter chaos, which nobody really wants to see that. But, you know, if it
no, but does, I think that's I think what you're talking about is really scary and a real possibility here. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not my glasses tend to be half full, you mm-hmm. know, but when we see cynicism set in, and I think Charlie touched on this, actually, you are in a generation, if we're not there yet, which who knows what the heck, you know, maybe we're already there. But it's like within a generation when these kids grow up and assume mantles of serious authority, power, whatever, you know, their generation could already embody the necessary seeds for serious domestic strife and conflict. You know, like I said, we've already seen this crime wave. We've seen riots. We've seen whatever. We've seen the dissolution of the bonds of society on a large scale. But we could see even more. I mean, if this cynicism doesn't get dealt with, I mean, mm-hmm. it leads to a not good place, folks. And that, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, that's what I, again, going back to what Charlie said last night, is everything, in the conservative movement, or at least, what we're talking about is solution focused. And I think that hopefully brings people out of that, but
yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, one of the things that's so important, Charlie and I talk about this all the time, is that those interactions mm-hmm. on campus, the things that you do all the time in your role, Joe Bob, as a contributor and all your sort of man on the street, your reporting, that kind of stuff, it's like it's not necessarily that you're going to see a conversion in that moment. No. You're not. The lights don't always come on right then, but like years down the line, you know, it was interesting. The one girl came up to me and she was hearing the guy on the megaphone, mm-hmm. you know, calling everybody Nazis and stuff. Like she looks at me and she goes, I don't think he's being very fair. And mm-hmm. I said, bingo. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, we are. You know, we're giving you like a fair shot. Like you want to like talk. And it just reminds me, and I think that's the message of hope, is that these seeds that are getting planted with people like you that have such a massive following online and you're touching so many people like virtually, but also like, you know, through these interactions in person, it's like this is going to have an impact. Final word to you, Joe Bob.
You know, it's difficult right now to be optimistic, but I tell you what, I genuinely am. I was talking to talking to Candace Owens, same thing. She's that this is going to sound bad, but the Biden administration is doing everything they can to push people towards more freedom and less government and more conservative ideals. Yeah. And as bad as things are right now, and again, I don't want people to have to continue to go through these sorts of bad things. We have a great opportunity right now to seize a bunch of people that are wandering aimlessly and say, hey, this is where we can be, and this is where we should be. Let's go, America.
So your message is basically it's going to get worse before it gets better. but no, it's true. Sure. I mean, that's what we're saying. Listen, Joe Bob, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Too,
good work
thanks.
Yesterday, my friend. I saw you working hard out there in your best leftist attire. So hopefully your ruse isn't up yet. We need you out there more and more.
All right, brother.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. That was really fun. 3 episodes of The Charlie Kirk Show from Andrew Colbert, producer Andrew, yours truly. It was an honor. Charlie will be back tomorrow. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.